This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are back, Tuesday edition of VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. We got a great Tuesday show, my man, on tap today. Matt Heumann's going to get up very early for us, Jensen, as he does each and every Tuesday right there from Las Vegas. Greg Peterson, I'm sure he's going to be running in some of his best bets that he has in Major League Baseball today. Brad Evans going to be on the program as well. Buckle up for Brad. He is a lot of fun to have, Jensen. But boy, we're getting closer, not just in the NFL, but when you get those polls coming out, Jensen, we know college football is right around the corner too.
Indeed. Going to look to bounce back from a couple of tough nights on the diamond on Sunday and Monday. Again, it always intrigues me as to where this part of the season is from a motivation factor. And it does affect the handicap because you do have all these teams still alive in these playoff races. We'll break down the wild cards. And I think we're going to have a fight to the finish for National League MVP. Holy hell, Pete Crow Armstrong, Ooh. Walk it off on the north side. Shohei Ohtani, couple of homers in the thin air of Mile High. What a night, and boy, what a week we have upcoming for NFL preseason week two as well.
So much to break down. Let's start off with those new rankings in college football. That's where we kick off our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
The Ohio State University is number one in the preseason polling. We got Oregon, Georgia, Notre Dame, and Texas to kind of round out this big four, if you will, Jensen Lewis. I don't think that's a big surprise there. Maybe Indiana on the outside looking in with their first place votes that they did receive here. What's your takeaway of the big guns at the top of this poll?
The great coach speak, right? Of, hey, it doesn't matter. We don't care. I think the one thing of the poll, Indiana, courtesy of our great friend of the program, Brett McMurphy, Indiana outside of the top five as the defending national champion. It is their highest preseason ranking in school history. Remember, they started last year as the number 20 team in the nation going on to win the title. I believe... And also from Brett, Dave, every year for the past 23 years, except for 2019, there has been at least one preseason top 10 team that finished the year unranked. So we'll dive a bit further into which top 10 team, and there's some really good ones that might finish unranked this year. But that is a 23-year consecutive streak that a top 10 preseason team, one of them has finished unranked by the time the season is complete.
Yeah, great nuggets from our guy, Brett McMurphy. And again, you see a lot of these things. And again, I equate it to NASCAR, kind of that pole position that you get. So while it might not have a bearing necessarily, as Brett points out, it does give you those inside tracks, if you will, in case you have those slip-ups, Jensen. I think that's where it's really been pertinent there. You mentioned Indiana, even with this super high rank, we'll break it down as the show goes on to do today. At number six, do you think that Kurt Cignetti will take that as disrespect, that they are the reigning defending national champions, and yet, even though it's the highest they've ever had for him, he's like, I don't care about the history. Today, we're talking about today, and we should be higher.
Yeah, you know, there's two ways I thought he would go. Number one, they are if they're not ranked number one, then what are we doing? No one had beaten us to this point. We won the offseason. Right. No one has played anybody, so how could we have dropped from the number one ranking? I could see all kinds of weird mind games there. I'll tell you what I'm intrigued by. And again, we look at this now in our expanded playoff era, Dave, where you're looking at that 12 through 15, maybe 12 through 16. And we have Texas Tech, Alabama, BYU, Southern Cal, and Michigan. Those are always teams where you look and see, okay, who can kind of make that run early in the season in that NASCAR analogy, Dave, right? And then be able to position themselves headed in case there is a little bit of a slip up. You want the cushion. So if you're in the top 10, you appreciate that. You get a little bit of that cushion. But yeah, hey, let's just spot the ball, as Pete Golding would say this program. Spot the ball and let's go.
I think it's our new favorite quote. We just absolutely love that from Pete. They're going to spot the ball down there in New Orleans, but they're not going to have Jordan Tyson for quite some time. About 2 months, it's looking like here, Jensen, with a hamstring injury. This is a big one for them. Obviously, talented rookie that they're bringing in. they had very high hopes for. You know, we keep talking about every day here in the program, it's not just about the games themselves. It's the practices and everything else where we're getting these injuries as you lead up to the to week one. I guess you could always say, Jensen, it's better to happen now so you can reevaluate, try to go get somebody else off the waiver wire, that sort of thing. But never a good time to lose a talented a young player.
Problem is Dave, this is a recurring injury and one that as you went into draft day, a lot of teams were trying to do their due diligence and see, okay, is this something that we really are going to have to worry about? I think the hard part is you had designs on Chris Olave on one side, Jordan Tyson on the other side. You bring in Travis Etienne Jr. to go along with Alvin Kamara and give Tyler Shuck all kinds of options there. This is a huge blow because, as you and I know, we have watched plenty of football. Hamstrings, calves, groins for receivers and backs. It always is something that lingers. Doesn't matter how much time you take. So this is a tough blow, especially with the start to New Orleans schedule.
And again, this is a team, a lot of people on our network, and I think around the league collectively, very excited about to see what Kellen Moore can do in year two. And that was supposed to be a key weapon here for Tyler Shuck and company on that offense. So let's see what they're going to be able to do. 2 months is what we're hearing that he's going to be down. And by the way, Breece Hall, right as we were going off the air yesterday, Jensen, we had that breaking news about Breece Hall and didn't sound good, right? Non-contact injury. Aaron Glenn said it's a strained groin. He doesn't think it's going to be a very big deal. Optimism, but we just talked about kind of some of those key spots that you don't want to have injuries for, certainly running backs and wide receivers. We'll have to see what it's going to look like for Breece Hall. But I guess, Jensen, better news, at least the coach is saying, kind of in Kevin Bacon terms, stay calm. Don't panic. We'll find out if there's any panic there for the Jets going forward. How about this one? We see these owners now, Jensen, sell, and getting richer. We did have to update also the Clippers situation, the NBA refuting a report that came out by ESPN and saying, no, there is no evidence that Steve Ballmer funneled money through sponsors to Kawhi Leonard. So the NBA, and it sounds like the reporting on this, feel like they're very much at odds. So I don't know which way this is going to go, but it was interesting to kind of see that clap back from the league to the report.
We'll read the NBA PR statement. This from spokesman Mike Bass, ESPN's article regarding the LA Clippers investigation, for which the NBA declined to cooperate, contains numerous and significant inaccuracies. The results in this matter will be made clear once the investigation is concluded. Clearly, there is a divide here of what is right and what is wrong. Allow the evidence to come forth. David A. Lewis, Ross administration, we do not comment on these matters until the investigation is completed. Let us see how it transpires. It is holding up the business of the offseason, though, remember, of this potential trade, sending Kawhi Leonard back to the six in Toronto. So we'll wait and see as this saga continues to unfold.
Well, that's getting ugly. You start airing that dirty laundry out there in public, and people are going, wait, what's going on here? Mentioned selling these teams. How about San Diego? The Padres selling for, what, $3.9 billion, Jensen. That goes yesterday, the most expensive deal in baseball history. Now, that doesn't mean they're the most expensive franchise or value of, but still, to officially be sold for $3.9 billion. Mentioned this with the Buss family there in L.A. There is no more Buss family in with the Lakers, as they've sold the remaining 18% of their shares of the Lakers yesterday. So that's kind of a traditional name with a family and a team that is no longer there. But let's start with the Padres. What do you make of that? And I'm sure other teams are going to go, wow, Padres went for $3.9 billion. I wonder what my team might go for.
This was never a doubt. It was a unanimous vote here from all 29 other owners. So this was happening. And, again, one of those situations where you look at the escalating values, and Dave, this will become a theme as we get into the offseason. Mm-hmm. Oh, these teams are this high of value, yet you want a salary cap. Very interesting on that side. If you have not watched the TV show Succession, might I give you a real life example of what is playing out right now with the LA Lakers? A report yesterday that they were the Buss family sold the remaining shares. That is being contested, Dave, by current governor Jeannie Buss. Remember, it's not owners in NBA, it's governors.
Right.
Which is a whole nother
governorship.
She is contesting her siblings' vote to sell the family's remaining 17.8% share of the Lakers. That, according to Ramona Shelburne, she has been all over that. Dave, it's selling season in LA professional sports. Mark Walter might be next on deck to sell the LA Dodgers. You thought the Padres went for a boatload of money. Wait and see if that one happens. Got a few loans he's got to pay back to the United States government or some other people that have been wronged, apparently. I don't think this Lakers saga is done by any stretch. This sounds, as I said, real life succession playing out in front of us. Incredible theater. If you've not read up on it, please do. It is incredible to see what the family dynamic is, the kids, and where the trust was of course, Mr. Buss, who passed away. Remarkable theater playing out from the outside looking in. And yeah, I think we're just getting started with this organization right here.
He would be Logan Roy. We've got Shiv. We've got Kendall Roy. Absolutely amazing show as well, if you haven't seen that. Just we're going to get into a lot of Major League Baseball as the show goes on today, but the O's, Rangers, Tigers are all tied for that final wild card spot in the AL. It's going to be wild down the stretch we come.
Wild and then some. We now have, Dave, in the American League, we have seven teams within two games of each other for the final wild card spot. And yes, it is going to be one of those down the stretch she comes postseason races, especially in the junior circuit.
When Kendall Roy rapped to the shareholders, that was a very interesting episode, I might add. When we come back, Jensen, let's talk about maybe worst to first in the NFL and some numbers associated. We're back next. VSiN by the books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge, but what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Week zero of college football is almost upon us, and with the NFL regular season right behind it, now is the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. When you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, do it today. You're going to get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from the sharpest minds here on the network. And that's not all. You're also going to get daily best bets from all of our hosting guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for as little as $9.99 or save 50% off with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you. Going to have Matt Youmans join the program here in the very next segment. Now, we always see worst to first in the NFL. It's a very bettable market, Jensen, that we always look at. But today, we're going to take a look at the odds to be the just overall worst team in the NFL. Now, this is always interesting because I think there is a misnomer out there, Jensen, that fans, when they realize their team is awful, what do they say? You know, suck for luck. It's, you want to get in the tank for whatever number one pick is going to come out next year. But Jensen, you know this. Athletes, at least at the NFL level, do not tank. Now, front office could have a different opinion of what the team should do, but the coach and the players, it's really hard to get everybody on the same page if that's truly your objective. So I think before people bet into these markets, they got to realize, man, players put stuff out on tape. Coaches put stuff out there, too. And, you know, maybe the owner's hoping for that number one pick, but they're not necessarily going to be all on the board with the fan base to suck once they realize that they're not very good. The Cardinals, we get it. They're the favorites to be the worst team in the NFL this year, Jensen, at 2-1. And then the intrigue starts after that. The Dolphins at +375, and then we're getting double digits or better, starting with the Raiders and the Jets and the Browns at 10-1. How would you start to look at this market in ways of handicapping it?
Yeah. Okay. So first year head coaches, right? And that's what you have there with the Cardinals and the Dolphins. You kind of have a revamp there in Miami. Green Bay North has now come to South Beach and trying to, you know, eliminate the culture that was there before, infuse and build what you want for the future. Obviously, those are the clear chalk. I wonder if the Jets are where we start. And a big reason why is you and I look at quarterback head coach relationships a lot throughout the year. And we obviously know that last year, not the way that Aaron Glenn was hoping to have year one go. You bring in Geno Smith, who is definitely going to put the ball in harm's way. That's just the way it's been. And so does that give you a high upside of being able to win a lot of games or enough games to save a head coach's job? In that respect too, Dave, you play in a division that has two of the best teams in the conference in the Bills and the Patriots. The Dolphins, yes, being there, you know, you're going to play each other twice. So even if you split those, that's still an opportunity in this market to achieve that bottom. Let me start with the Jets. I know that people think the Browns are going to be better. Dave, I've seen this movie before. I know that what did Marty Herney tell us, or what if GM said, you know, if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. And I That's think right. that is still going to be a huge question mark for the Cleveland Browns. Those would be the two teams that I would start at, Dave. I know you're high in the Titans. It is year one for Robert Saleh. I can't see them being like at a 12 loss team. That just doesn't equate, you know, in my mind here. I think they can at least, you know, have 10 or fewer, and that would keep them out of the basement in this market. But I would start Jets, Browns, and then I don't know if we can get like a super duper long shot that we don't see coming, but that does happen. Every year we get a team's like, oh my God, they are so bad. If you had to start somewhere, would you kind of fall in line with Jets, Browns, or do you have another team or two that I'm not thinking of right off the bat?
I mean, if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network, YouTube TV, you couldn't see my reaction when you said Jets, but I put my arm up because that's exactly where I was going. And by the way, if you're watching this out there, we appreciate you watching this morning. Everybody in the left side of that ledger, as Jensen was pointing out, from the Cardinals starting as a short shot at plus $2, all the way down to the Falcons at 16-1. What all of those teams have in common, with the exception of the Jets, first-year head coaches at that spot. That's pretty incredible to think about. All of those teams on the short shots, up to 16-1 with the Falcons, first-year head coach, the Jets, Aaron Glenn, year number two. But Aaron Glenn might be in that category for first coach to be fired. The Breece Hall injury doesn't help. I know coach says that that's going to be okay. I think the way you started to handicap it, though, Jensen, was exactly what I was getting to. It's hard to play like the Falcons look like they're going to be terrible. I don't know that they're going to be as bad as everybody's projecting them to be off what you see in one meaningless game so far. And to that end, Jensen, you have to look at the division. And I thought you did it the right way, which is, I don't know that the South is going to really, either South, whether it's the Titans or the Falcons, pick the AFC or the NFC, are going to be overly daunting that those teams can't win divisional games there, right? So it's hard to get the worst record if you're winning multiple games in your own division, which I think both the Titans and the Falcons can still do. So it does get me back to the Browns and the Jets. Like, how many are the Jets going to win? And I know people are going to look at the Dolphins and go, well, they can get two against Miami. You know what Miami's thinking? We can get two against the Jets. So, like, I think that might cancel each other out. And I don't know that they're good enough to beat the Patriots once and or the Bills once. And certainly the Brownies in that division, Jensen, at 10-1, I'm kind of with you. You know, I like Big Mike there with the Steelers. I know not everybody shares that opinion at the network, and that's fine. But I kind of like the Steelers. And if they're supposed to be the weakest of the bigger three with the Bengals and Ravens, where are the Browns getting their wins? I know they traditionally do because of their divisional pedigree through the years past. But at 10-1, that's probably where I'd look on that side of the ledger. If you're looking for a real long shot, now, again, it's going to be tough because of what I just mentioned in the division. But if you're really looking for a long shot, Jensen, the only other team I thought about was the Buccaneers at 50-1. And hear me out, America. If Baker Mayfield, who's not happy with the contract situation, plays through everything, right? Because, again, I just talked about it. Sometimes you're putting stuff out there for the next team. I think people know exactly who Baker Mayfield is at this point. I think they're kind of looking for a reason to get rid of Todd Bowles. I like Coach Bowles. I think he does a solid job, but I could see if things go south early there, they would relieve him of his duties. Where else does this team really scare you outside of the quarterback position? Do they still scare you defensively? Vita Vea wants out? I don't know, Jensen. That feels combustible. So for an extreme long shot, Baker goes down with an injury. What else do they really have there in the pipeline? That might be something that I might be able to walk down if I'm looking for one. But outside of that, I'd have to look to the short shots. And the Cardinals do feel like the obvious choice at plus $2.
Yeah, one other spot that I just was thinking about. Carolina at 25-1 is intriguing. Ooh. Because a lot of close games for them last year that went their way, that you could have the old negative regression in those. And I will talk a lot about that with the Denver Broncos. I mean, every game felt like a one possession game. They pretty much won all of those. The tough schedule that Carolina has, including playing the NFC North and some other strong non-conference. I think if you're looking for a legitimate long shot lean, maybe even buying the regression narrative, that might be of the teams on that first page. I got worse options than 25-1 with that team. And I think that might be one spot if I'm looking to sprinkle. Carolina 25-1 might be the highest that I would be comfortable going, just kind of knowing where the rest of those teams are currently.
I mean, again, and I don't want my Chicago brethren to be upset with me, but the Bears at 150-1.
No. Don't do it.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine if all of a sudden everything just implodes there? Like, Jensen, they got every break they could possibly imagine. I mean, you really can't make that stuff up. If you wrote the Bears script in a movie and sold that to Hollywood last year, they go, well, this stuff just doesn't happen in pro football. And it happened for the Bears to pull out some of those games last year. I don't think that would be the case this year, but I have been in that city long enough to see where everything looks great, right? Where you come off the double doink and you think everything's going to be great, and then it's terrible and you fire your coach. I mean, I've seen it go that way in Chicago before. I don't think it would go that way this year, but at 151, it did pique my interest. But again, I think, Jensen, the point too is we do normally see a team that right now we don't associate with possibly being the worst team that's going to surprise us by how bad they actually are.
Yeah, no, it's correct. The Chicago Bears of Hammond, Indiana. Remember that's you would force people to start relocating to Hammond if they start 1-7. But yeah, that's let's see when we get to the end of camp and where some skill position players are for some other notable teams. Right. I think that's something to keep in mind here of teams we're not thinking of initially. And then when we're going to get one or two catastrophic injuries right in the first 3 weeks of the season. It happens every year. So interested to see what happens on that front.
Well, speaking of movies, if that happened, Jensen, and the Bears start off 1-7, they could just remake Major League, because that's the whole principle of it, right? We're going to move the team. We hate the owner. So let's see what happens. All right, when we come back, Matt Hume is going to join us right there from Las Vegas, see what he thinks in Major League Baseball and the NFL as well. That's all next right here at Beeson by the Books.
And by the Books, right here on VSiN.
$30 million in guaranteed prizes. Cash in this football season in Vegas with 3 Circus Sports contest entries starting at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays inside that prize pool. Circa Million, 18 weeks, 128 ways to win, Jensen and I included in that. Circa Survivor, pick one winner every week. Last one standing is going to scoop that pot. And then there's Circa Grandissimo for the high rollers out there. $100,000 entry. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere in this great country of ours, $30 million guaranteed. Visit circusports.com for all of the details. You know him, you love him on the network. VSiN primetime host, Matt Humans. You can give him a follow on X at MattHumans247. Joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Good Tuesday morning to you, sir. We were talking a little NFL football during the break here. First of all, for the contest, Matt, the Friday football contest is coming back as well, correct?
Yeah, we plan to bring it back. I don't know if we'll make the announcement Friday or Monday, but we got a couple of details to iron out, and hopefully we can announce that within the week. Yep.
Sounds awesome. And for the contest plays, I mentioned Jensen and I will be in Millions together, also in Survivor with one of my boys from Virginia Beach. What about you, Matt? How do you handicap these sort of things? Like, how many entries do you like to have every year?
Well, this year I'm going to have one in Circa Million, and I've got a group of three other guys, one from Chicago, one from Houston, and one from Reno. And we pool our money, and we're going to have several entries in the Circa Survivor. I feel like you need a bunch to compete, you know, because there's going to be so many groups with, there's going to be groups out there with 200 entries or more. Obviously, you know how some of these situations are set up. And I've said I think you need at least five entries to give yourself a fighting chance. We're going to have far more than that. But with all the money that's in the pot, you have to take a shot. You have to. And, you know, our group, we made a deep run in Survivor last year, got knocked out by the Eagles on Black Friday when they lost at home to the Bears. But I'll be in the Westgate contest and the college and NFL, and obviously those two circuit contests. You're just going to play as many contests as possible. There is so much money up for grabs. These contests are great. I love these every year.
Very good. I'm actually on my way out with Michelle on Friday. We'll be registering for a solo Millions entry myself here, Matty Heumann. So okay. Excited to get into the deep end here of the big pool. Speaking of week one NFL preseason, really great trends from Steve Mackinnon and some of other contributors on the website. How does it change for you in week two? We should get a little bit more of those starters that might play, or we've now had the wrinkle of, hey, if the joint practices go well, we may not play the starters because we got the work in that we need to. How do you handicap line movement, kind of news breaking here and there on what we'll see for week two this week?
I'll tell you what, if you followed the line moves and the steam last week, you got crushed. And that typically doesn't happen. But those sharp moves were losers last week. And I think the NFL preseason got off to a rough, kind of a rough start for a lot of bettors. We'll see if it's a little bit better this week. I don't have any plays for you tonight. I'm trying to dig up as much information as I can about who's going to play and for how long this week. Adam Burke on vsin.com is doing a great job of gathering all that information. He's got a bunch of up on the website, and he'll have more as it's released. But, yeah, I'm trying to find out stuff like the Chargers. They play on Thursday this week, and I was impressed by the Chargers, actually, in their first preseason game at Houston last week. I like the way the quarterbacks played. Trey Lance is pretty good. DJ Uiagalelei behind him, pretty good. Those guys combined for 275 passing yards, and Chargers beat the Texans 27-7 on the road. And with so many injuries for the 49ers, I kind of want to play the Chargers here, but I need to get some more information on what Jim Harbaugh is going to do with the starters and, you know, how he plans to play his quarterback. So I haven't made a move on that game yet. I also, one game I did win last week, I did not have a good first week, but I played the Rams as underdogs at Kansas City. And the Rams are going to be home dogs this week. And the Rams right now, 1.5-point home dogs to the Saints, who just lost Jordan Tyson, their star top 10 pick wide receiver for a while. But the Rams, the situation I like there with the number two quarterbacks, they're fighting for the number two job, Stetson Bennett, a veteran from Georgia, and Ty Simpson, the first-round pick from Bama. Simpson, 21 for 25, 190 yards, two TDs, no picks, no sacks. He looked really good. And as those two guys continue to battle for that number two spot, maybe the Rams could be a play. But as of right now, just still trying to gather as much information on these games as possible before I make any plays.
Matt, we've got a big day coming up on Thursday here at the network, 5 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be our second annual VSiN Pro Football Futures Draft. You, sir, have drawn the 10 spot, which is right directly behind yours truly at 9. I believe you finished third or second last year to Patrick Maher. I know you nipped me at the wire because I came in fourth. What's the strategy this year? Any change up? Because you had a really nice showing a year ago.
Well, Super Dave Ross is picking ninth. I'm sure it's going to be a Cowboys pick. It's going to be the Cowboys win the NFC East or Dakota Prescott to lead the NFL in passing yards or touchdowns. So I'll have to cross off one of those. You know, last year's draft, I did have the most winners. I had six of my 10 futures were winners. But one thing I took away from that draft is you hit one long shot, you can win that. Patrick
Bonner, there it is.
You know, he hit most touchdowns.
Jonathan Taylor. Yeah, Jonathan Taylor rush touchdowns.
Yeah. 14 or 15 to 1 odds. And he just nipped me for the win because he hit that one long shot. I had the most winners, but again, so I'm gonna look for some couple of longer shots to take here, like I did in the baseball draft, and that's why I've been trying to dig up some information on some of these tonight, see if I can find something that's worth playing. But I think, you know, instead of playing it safe and take stuff like Bills to win the AFC East, you've got to take stuff 10 to 1, 15 to 1, 20 to 1, 25 to 1. If you hit one of those, you could win this whole thing. And I think that's going to be my strategy, is try to play a few longer shots this year and see if we can win that. As far as the Cowboys go, Cowboys win the NFC East at DraftKings plus 215 right now. And I mentioned on your show in June that I hate to say it, but I like the Cowboys to win the division. And I've talked to some sharp bettors who I really respect, who also like the Cowboys a lot. And I know Dave Ross, you're making a strong case for Dallas this season. Are you a little bit concerned that the Cowboys are kind of becoming a chic pick with a lot of people to win that division or to go over the win total, and that the Cowboys are going to be much improved? Hey, look, last year the Cowboys finished 30th in the defense in terms of yards per game, 32nd in scoring. But I think this defense is going to be much improved this season.
I think so, Jensen, too. And you guys, yeah, I was going to say, Jensen, you know this. I just think the defense is going to be vastly improved. But it does worry me that everybody now is starting to get on board. I kind of liked it when I was a lone wolf out there. So, Matt, that does worry me a little bit. But, Jensen, you're picking, what, fifth in this draft? Is that right, Jensen, your spot coming up on Thursday?
Yeah, and trust me, only one error in my major league career. So, Matt Eumanns, you can't get it by me of that little subtle jab on the Bills to win the AFC East. I saw that coming a mile away. I do have my big board ready. I believe that my number one overall selection will be there when I pick at five. And I do have two player props that no one will see coming that I'm very, very comfortable waiting for at the end. So that'll be fun. Hey, that's the operative phrase here, Matt, is we will probably have to wait till the end of the season and maybe into the final weekend for the National League MVP race, the way it's going right now. How about identical stat lines for Pedro Armstrong and Shohei Ohtani last night? However, PCA with the last laugh, getting the walk-off home run in the Windy City Series opener yesterday. What a game that was. I know it was your guys' game of the night on primetime. Thoughts for you now on where we stand with PCA in the National League MVP race?
That's a really interesting race. And it felt like Pete Crow Armstrong, who was once with the New York Mets before they made an ill-advised trade. It feels like PCA might have had his MVP moment last night with the leadoff homer and the walk-off homer. But, Jensen, I was going to ask you this. We were debating this on air last night. Is he worth a bet right now at MVP at a little bit of plus money, 105, 110, 115? If you look at Ohtani and PCA and their stat lines, almost identical. PCA, 30 homers, 78 RBIs. Ohtani, 29 and 78. Ohtani, a little bit better, 295 batting average. Just go across all categories, very similar. In addition, though, Ohtani's obviously got 14 starts, 8-2 record, a whip under one, an ERA of 179. I just wonder if voters have a little Ohtani fatigue, so to speak. I know it's kind of a cliche. Do they want to pick somebody else? Are they going to be enthralled by this PCA story? Mm-hmm. Do you think he's worth a bet right now? I mean, if you do it based on numbers and include Ohtani's pitching, I think Ohtani has to be the favorite. But I feel like a lot of people want to vote for Pete Crow Armstrong.
You're going to get a lot of the new age voters too, Matt, on our old friend Wins Above Replacement. You're going to see that get bandied about all off season. The votes have to be in, obviously, before we start playoff baseball. But 8.2 Wins Above Replacement in total WAR right now for PCA. Shohei has 4 batting WAR and a 3 pitching WAR at 7 total. Right. What a fight to the finish we're going to have. It's going to be a lot of fun. But yes, I would bet PCA right now. I think it'd be worth a bet.
Okay.
Then that fastball didn't get by me either, Matt, on the Javi Baez trade. And by the way, it wasn't Joshua Baez. For all those dumbass Met fans out there that think David Stearns traded, you know, it's like just insanity. Matt, you're the best. Check him out. VSiN Primetime. Give him a follow next. Matt Eumanns, 247. Talking AL Wildcard Race next. VSiN by the books.
Mm-hmm. in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Tuesday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. Going to have Greg Peterson join us in the very next hour, talking all things Major League Baseball. Brad Evans going to join the program in hour number three. Can't wait to get Brad's take on football coming up this season. He's always got some great insight from the fantasy side and certainly gambling as well. But Jensen, let's get back to the American League in Major League Baseball. And that wild card race is aptly named. I mean, it's going to be wild down the stretch they come. And the numbers are changing here, maybe not dramatically every day, but you're seeing, you know, certainly jockeying for position as we kind of talk about with that NASCAR analogy here. What do you make of last night's results? And again, the Orioles, even in defeat, man, did they push Tampa Bay and almost got that 4-game sweep.
Yeah, statement series win for them and had opportunities yesterday. It was a home run derby inside Tropicana Field yesterday. Back and forth they go. And the Rays to get the last laugh and salvage one of those games in the series. But make no mistake, Baltimore has really entered the chat, as the kids would say, and a remarkable run for them to begin the second half of the season. I'll tell you the big winner for me throughout this, and I've highlighted this now the last couple of weeks, it's the Detroit Tigers. And they put a whooping on the Pittsburgh Pirates last night. Framber Valdez getting some early run support, made it stand up. Detroit, Dave, and we like to look at a couple of advanced numbers here, if you will, in the standings. And remember, I've talked with you about expected win-loss records, so a little Pythagorean theorem. Gil Alexander in a numbers game will certainly highlight these numbers throughout the year. But right now, Detroit sits at 61-64 as their real record. Their actual or expected win-loss should be 72-53. That's an 11-game difference, Dave. So you kind of use those numbers as potentially a window into the positive regression there. Dustin Sweetelson, don't shoot us here with using positive regression, but expected to be moving in a more positive direction. And I think you've seen them recently start to embellish that narrative. I think Detroit, if you're looking to buy in this American League wildcard race, Detroit would be a buy spot, not only to make the playoffs, but Dave, I realize they just got swept at home by the Chicago White Sox. I've told you for years that this division will come down to the final weekend of the regular season, the American League Central. If you're looking to buy some Central Division futures, I would buy a little bit of share of the Detroit Tigers too. So I love the way that they're going right now. If I'm looking to sell, I'm looking to sell the Texas Rangers. They right now, again, on expected win loss should be 57-68. They are currently 61-64. So that's a 4-game differential in the win loss column, but they are minus 47 in the run differential. Compare that with Detroit, who's plus 86. You know, you want to kind of see some data points moving in correlated fashion. We have one positively with Detroit. We have two negatively now for Texas. So I think I'd be selling Texas and I'd be buying Detroit in this AL wildcard race.
If we're selling Texas, Counselor, let me stay on that theme and give you a double choice. And I'm glad this isn't younger Jensen Lewis back in Vanderbilt, because you might pull your hair out with this choice. Seattle is 4 back in the West, yet they're only 2 back in the wild card. So if I gave you pick your poison, would you play Seattle to win the West at plus 340, kind of with that sell, if we think that Houston might come back, or if you think they can run down Texas here, potentially you can get them about 2-1 here just to make the postseason. What would be the play if you wanted to play on Seattle? And I know you might not want to do that.
I kind of would want to play them to win the division. Dave, they are 9-2. Seattle is 9-2. Against the Houston Astros this year. They are plus 30 in just the season series. They have outscored Houston 73-43. So if I'm looking for, okay, if not now, when, I would say Seattle would be where I would hitch my wagon in that specific division. Think about where we are as far as where their matchups go. Here's the road for Seattle moving forward. They begin a series in Milwaukee tonight against the Brewers, and then they're home against the Chicago Cubs and the Philadelphia Phillies. Then they got to come back east to take on Toronto and Boston. Then they come home and they have about as easy a finishing stretch as you could have. Four against the Athletics, three against the Rangers, three at the Athletics, three at the Angels, three at the Rockies, two at home against Houston, and then four at home against the Angels. All right. So if you're looking for, heck, I might even be circling them now for most wins as a longer shot in the month of September. Just thinking about where that schedule lays out, Dave, and if you're going to push for the postseason, this would be the time to do it. So that plus 340 to win the American League West, I would definitely take a second look at Seattle, as bad as it's been. And I get it. We are, I told you, I've had the longest loyalty to this group. They are that girlfriend you just can't let get away. For whatever reason, she keeps wanting you to hang around and keep doing the things you shouldn't be doing. That being said, we like to look at schedules. We like to look at the road forward. It doesn't get much easier. Once you get home from Boston, Dave, there at the beginning of September, it lays out pretty well for where the Mariners' road to a postseason spot is for them to try and get there.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you get that text or that call out of the blue and you're like, oh, wonder what she's doing. Let me ask you this about Seattle, because they are 15-1 here, Jensen, to win the pennant if they were able to get in, right? Either way, whether it's divisional winner or is that just not enough? Not enough cookies out there. Should they be closer to 20-1? Or you think that's a fair price? I look at Toronto; they're 19-1 to win the pennant. I would rather take, I guess, the shorter shot of the M's longer term. I would think they had the better opportunity, but they are 7 games still under 500 right now.
All right, this is starting to scream a little cross-board parlay time here. If we were to look at, which future would you rather? Let's talk which future you'd rather start with. Would you want Seattle or Toronto to win the American League?
I think I'd rather have Seattle, as much as I love to root for that story again in Toronto after a year ago. But I kind of just feel like they still have more weapons. Vladdy's out with this concussion. We hope he comes back and he's going to be okay. It just doesn't look like they can score enough runs. And I know Seattle's going, have you seen our back of the bubblegum card? We don't score runs either. So I can get that argument. But Jensen, I think if you made me, I'd go Seattle there.
Okay, so Seattle and parlayed with Scottie Scheffler, top 10 finish at the BMW Championship. That gets you to 19-1. So you get a little bump right there on, you know, the Seattle side. If you wanted to get really rambunctious and take the Blue Jays plus Scottie Scheffler top 10 at the BMW this week is 24-1. So there are ways to kind of drive this up a little bit. I don't know if I'm going super duper long, Dave, give me the Tigers. Tigers and Scottie Scheffler top 10 this week. That's 25-1. I think that gives you a little bit more of a monetization opportunity that is more realistic. And again, I picked Seattle to win the American League beginning of the year at 5-1. Fully understand I'm pot committed with where that's at. But I think Detroit has shown me much more here in the recent couple of weeks. And mind you, I realize they got swept by Chicago in their own backyard. Not their best weekend. Outside of that, they have been one of the best teams outside of the Boston Red Sox in the American League since the second half got underway. So just file that one away for what we're looking at upcoming rest of August and, of course, into September.
Let me ask you about one other team here that I kind of feel like doesn't get discussed in these terms, certainly not in a pennant term by any stretch of the imagination, but maybe in a playoff spot. And now to win the pennant, it's 40-1 on the Win Twins. I don't see that, coming in the distance. But Jensen, I'm looking at a team with a half game out here for a final wild card spot. I mean, they're right there in this conversation with these other teams that we're having. What about the Twins? Do you take them seriously down the stretch as a real potential playoff in?
No. Love my boy Derek Shelton. No, thank you. I want no part of it. If you're going that route, then you might as well take Texas, because that's kind of boom or bust. They're both the same way. I think they're so, I would rather have, give me DeGrom, Evaldi at the top. I get those two guys and a better back end of the pen with a little more uncertainty in the lineup series in and series out. Cause that's kind of where you are with Minnesota. Minnesota back into the pen, front end of the rotation. All right. Offense. Okay. We can win some shootouts if we need to. So, yeah, if you're looking boom or bust, I would put the Twins and the Rangers in that same category. I'd rather err on the side of where the Texas Rangers are, even though I told you, period, I would sell. I don't want to buy any of that. But if you forced me to, then it's probably Texas over Minnesota.
Yeah, out of these kind of bunch teams, if you will, all within a game of each other or two games, at most if you include Seattle, the Twins have the longest odds to make the postseason at 4-1 out of that group. All right, when we come back, lots to get to here. The college football poll is out. What does it really mean in a betting context for you? We'll discuss next right here on VSiN by the Books.